Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kyle Hendricks is a legendary Cub no matter what, but hopefully he gets to write his own send-off, and it ends well. But the old saying...
Here we go, Jim. This is going to be a big
one.
Here
we go, Tony. We are ready, folks.
What? Oh, God, I was about to butcher the saying.
Just like the saying says, you know?
What saying?
I don't know. There ought to be one.
All things wouldn't end unless they end poorly. You know the saying I'm talking about.
You know, there's an old saying. I mean, unfortunately, when you talk with an old guy, you get a lot of sayings that are old, but they're proven test of time.
Oh, God, that's me being solo.
We're Spigs.
An old saying in Tennessee. I think it was Texas.
All things end poorly or else they wouldn't end.
Way to go, Danny.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Jim. Here we go. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Anthony Herron is in for Spiegs. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Tonight, the Cubs begin their series against the Astros at Wrigley. Pre-game coverage at 6:05. First pitch at 6:40. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. The news of the day is that Kyle Hendricks has a lower back issue and has been placed on the IL. Whether or not you believe it or not is up to your discretion.
So putting that out there sounds like you don't believe it.
I guess.
You're skeptical.
Yeah. I think the AJ Pierzynski, what did he have? Anal fissures?
Whoa.
Right? That's what he had.
Is that what he had?
Well, that's what he had.
No, that's what he said he had in order to be put on the IL.
Yeah, he had the fake. He was like, hey, we got to put you on the IL. You're not injured, but he said, can I make up the injury?
They just talked to someone on their podcast. I think maybe Cameron Maybin, and excuse me if it wasn't him, just assigning him anal fissures. But he's like, oh, yo, I really had one of those.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Great office scene where they have to pick a new healthcare plan, and they all have to write down anonymously what diseases they have, and Kevin writes down anal fissures, and then Dwight's reading it like, what's this hilarious one? Somebody made up anal fissures, and Kevin's sitting there like, someone has it. Very funny. I could have just pulled the audio, but I know it so well.
Yeah,
so
no, it's like I've seen the show now.
We didn't have anal fissures on the rundown here. For
has
five,
Kevin
yeah.
ever had to dump himself? I mean, you guys keep saying
what,
this
because
term,
of the fissures?
Right? Yeah, fissures are okay.
Part of it, yeah. Okay.
My point is that AJ Pierzynski confirmed that the phantom IL stint in baseball is a thing. Because he said, I'm not hurt, but you're putting me on the IL. I want to pick my injury. And he picked anal fissures. So Kyle Hendricks picked lower back stiffness, is what I'm alleging. That's my allegation. All right, now we can talk football.
Draft coverage on The Score is brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I'm a professional, Tanny. Are you ashamed? You ashamed?
Boy, are they glad they're here. Huh? They should. What a placement for their sponsor alone.
I'll do it again. But you wanted the 2021 quarterback draft.
Yeah.
Bears fans should know it well. They traded up from 20 to 11 to take Justin Fields. Mac Jones goes 15. Trevor Lawrence goes 1. Zach Wilson goes 2. One of the craziest trades in recent NFL history is the Niners trading up from 13 to 3 to get Trey Lance. Trevor Lawrence, the only one who is still with his original team, the only one who has arguably worked, and it is still arguable because he has not hit his ceiling, even though he's obviously going to get the second contract and a good NFL quarterback. That's the context of what happened in that draft. If anyone doesn't remember 2021, how do you think it's relevant?
I think the reaction to, you know, seeing that Zach Wilson gotten traded as well, and with Trevor Lawrence being the last man standing from that draft class, then with his original team, at least for that first round draft class with his original team, then the reaction from a lot of people seemed to be that class was trash. Those guys are awful. That was supposed to be this historic group of talent. And, you know, Lawrence is the only one who's even with his squad. And we don't even know if he's good. He might be awful, too. And
he's not awful.
It doesn't seem to be awful.
He's not awful.
At best, I think probably the most reasonable reactions, a lot of them were at least like, well, maybe we need to figure out this whole evaluation thing. Like, how are they evaluating these guys? How are there all these misses? And I think historically that's a lot of where it goes to. How do people miss on the quarterbacks and who's got to draft their guy? And this, it to me immediately put me back in the mind of what I've been talking about months ago, even with the idea before the Bears had traded Justin Fields, that to me a big question is whether or not the Bears are going to keep Fields or move on to Caleb. But then beyond that, if the Bears did move on to Caleb, that's not the end of the task, because there's so many of these draft classes where we see the guys who have all the physical tools in the world, go in the first round, go number one overall, but then there's still a question of whether or not they actually get developed. Does the talent, does the requisite work ethic, is it actually nurtured in a way that turns them into quality starters in the National Football League? And very frequently, the answer ends up being no, because it's an extremely hard thing to do to play quarterback at a high level in the NFL. But then once you're there, it's not only on the player, but that's what a lot of the discussion about it ends up pointing towards, whether or not this guy is a bust, whether or not they misevaluated that guy. How did they miss on him? Well, did you miss on the coach? Did you put him in the lineup too quickly? Did he not have an actual development structure that was in place? So part of the discussion we were having earlier about Caleb Williams, that feels to me like a part of the Bears' development structure, getting him at least engrossed initially in the playbook very early on, getting him around his teammates early in the process, before you've even officially picked him, and starting to ingratiate him with the locker room, starting to get his mentals right so he knows when he actually steps onto the field for the first time, it's not the first time he's uttering these plays out loud, the formations, getting a sense for these things. So I think that's all very positive, with the idea that the Bears do have a defined development plan in place. Aside from just surrounding him with talent and then dropping him into things and hoping for the best, an actual structure to the way they plan to develop Caleb Williams, because that to me leads to failure for so many quarterbacks in professional football right now, more so than just they didn't pan out because they didn't have it.
So I obviously agree, right? The job is not done when you just select the guy. There aren't a ton of examples of guy that's drafted high, guy that fails with the team, but then goes somewhere else and reaches his ultimate potential. Like, suggesting that the second place knew how to develop him and surround him and all of that. There are some, like, sure. Geno Smith is a pretty prominent example going on right now. I think some people would argue Baker Mayfield is an example of it. But that might have been partly his immaturity as much as it was the development in the system that was around him.
Well, sure. But you know, I don't think the environment he goes into in Cleveland is completely divorced from whether or not his immaturity was heightened.
Agreed.
Or was it diminished in some way? What kind of locker room did he go into? How much did you ask of this number one overall pick from day one? Who was the coach? Hugh Jackson. Is that really the best coach to develop a young quarterback who's there? history since then would say, maybe Hugh Jackson wasn't the best guy to develop Baker Mayfield early in his career. So there's a lot of factors in that.
For sure. I guess what I'm saying is, and I'm not to argue, but just to probe for insight, I guess. Yeah. Like, how many of these guys that people would say are busts or failures do you believe if they would have gone to the perfect situation or a very good situation that had the perfect plan for them, that their career would be drastically different and they would be much better? We did this hypothetical damn near every day for a while after the 2017 draft of what would Mahomes be here and what would Trubisky have been in Kansas City? What would Mitch have been if he sat for a year behind Alex Smith, learned from Andy Reid, and then had Mitchell Schwartz as his right tackle, Eric Fisher as his left tackle, and was throwing to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? What would Mitch Trubisky be right now? Would he have a couple hundred million in the bank or in guaranteed contracts and a couple of MVPs and a couple of Super Bowls?
My impression is no. Because I don't think Mitch was that level of prospect, which I didn't from day one. But that being said,
but I
don't think Mitch would have panned out into that. No.
What if Mahomes would have been drafted by Ryan Pace and played earlier than he should have behind Mike Glennon with Dow Loggins calling the plays, throwing to Marcus Wheaton and Josh Bellamy?
My impression is Mahomes would have struggled.
But what would he be now?
Would he have gotten a second contract? I think, it's obviously, the butterfly effect, it's so hard to say.
But you understand why I'm asking.
Yeah, right.
Because we agree that the Chiefs situation...
But it just still depends on a variety of other factors as well. There's multiple head coaches that Mitch Trubisky played for at his time in Chicago.
Yeah.
Multiple head coaches Justin Fields had. So what are the other factors that go into that? But so there still would have been a chance for Mahomes to pan out, but I definitely don't think it would have been as automatic as it has seemingly been in Kansas City.
Agreed. But I guess my point is that, like, the Chiefs situation is the gold standard. You have arguably the best offensive coach since Bill Walsh, right? He's a first ballot Hall of Famer coach, right?
Bill Walsh, who saved Steve Young's career.
Yeah.
Talking about examples of quarterbacks who didn't pan out at one spot, go elsewhere. Steve Young flamed out in Tampa, plays, World League football or whatever, goes back. Ends up in San Francisco, backing up a Hall of Famer, then eventually, because of injury, gets onto the field and turns into a Hall of Famer in his own right.
Andy Reid has literally made every quarterback that he's ever had have their best season.
Right.
Donovan McNabb, Jeff Garcia, Mike Vick, Kevin Cobb, Alex Smith, literally everyone, their best season is with Andy Reid. So he's the literal perfect coach for a QB to go to. Yeah. Then you've got a Hall of Fame receiver and a Hall of Fame tight end. And you got to sit for a year behind one of the smartest quarterbacks that we've seen. Ace the Wonderlic test. Anyone who's ever talked to Alex Smith's like, oh, this guy's very intelligent.
Who was failing early in his San Francisco career. And then Jim Harbaugh comes in, he gets better, and then he becomes his best self with Andy Reid.
Yeah, and was gracious to I guess my question is like,
I'm throwing another example of a quarterback who failed early and then developed later.
Yeah, but that situation is one of one. So is this Bears situation, if it's binary, if it's pass-fail, if it's one or zero, it feels like a pass to me.
Like it will pass after Caleb gets here and he'll play well.
Like if
you mean so far the team has passed.
Like if Caleb fails, it will be on Caleb. I would have fired Eberflus. I'm on the record with that.
Right.
I liked the Shane Waldron hire based on that they didn't fire Eberflus, but thought that you could have done better than Shane Waldron if your head coaching job was open. You know what I mean? I think Jim Harbaugh considers it if it's open. I think Ben Johnson maybe leaves Detroit if it's open, like, because I think the opportunity to coach Caleb Williams would be really damn attractive to a lot of people. But he's a good offensive coordinator. They seem to have a pretty well-regarded staff. And, man, they have an incredible amount of talent around him.
A lot of talent.
Not as good as Mahomes, but I really think the Justin Herbert one is a pretty good comp. Justin Herbert literally had Keenan Allen, and he had Mike Williams. And then eventually it's Corey Linsley at center and Rashawn Slater at tackle and Austin Ekeler at running back. And it's like, and he was good immediately.
Yeah.
The coaching was a disaster. Anthony Lynn fired. three offensive coordinators already in his first rookie contract, couple of head coaches, you know, it hasn't gone well. They wasted his rookie contract, but he was so good, partly because of him and partly because of the players around him.
Sure.
He played right away as a rookie. He had 31 touchdowns and 10 picks as a rookie, and he's been good ever since. Hasn't won, but
in the playoffs, right.
Yeah, but it's a team game.
Yeah.
You know, like, so have the Chargers failed Justin Herbert in terms of development?
Well, no, because he's developed into a quality quarterback.
But now he was a quality quarterback his rookie year. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year and 31 touchdowns.
Right, but I mean, development means whether or not you actually turn into a quality player. I mean, I think they've missed the window of his rookie, you know, contract to win a Super Bowl and you know, control the cap and everything. But no, I don't think they failed him in terms of development because he has performed beyond that. So I mean, it certainly wasn't the ideal development scenario. He performed well beyond that. But like, you know, Mac Jones is not nearly the level of prospect that Justin Herbert was, even though they got drafted virtually, you know. Well, no, Herbert went earlier than
Herbert,
Jones.
Herbert was 6 and Mac was 15.
Right, yeah. But, you know, they weren't the same level of prospect. But Justin Herbert, if he were in New England, maybe he still would have thrived with some defensive coordinator calling plays for him because it seemed like at times that was kind of what he dealt with the Chargers. So did they fail his development? They didn't help him, but he performed beyond that. But there have been prospects over and over again who've been put in terrible spots. So from a percentage perspective, how many more would have the potential to pan out? I think quite a few. You know, whatever the exact number would be. I mean, in my mind, at least another 25-33%, something like that, would perform at a much higher level depending on the circumstances they're in. Like, I don't think Russell Wilson puts a Hall of Fame career together regardless of where he began his career. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger puts a Hall of Fame career together regardless of where he began his career. These are guys who went into situations that nurtured their skills, that didn't ask too much of them earlier. I don't think Dak Prescott goes just anywhere and becomes the Dak Prescott who is a $40 million a year quarterback.
That was a great team he stepped
into. Dallas, an amazing team he steps into on the verge of a Super Bowl. Then Tony Romo needs a bacchiotomy multiple years in a row. And so Dak has to go in. And he does a representative job and then is able to take on more and more of the offense season over season.
But I guess so Dak's an interesting example because Caleb is obviously a much better prospect than Dak Prescott, right?
Yeah.
But Dak was successful immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He had what? He had Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith on the offensive line, Dez Bryant, Jason Whitney. It was a really good team.
And an offense that kind of just said, don't screw it up, Dak. Like, throw it to the right guy. We're going to run the football with Zeke and dominate the line of scrimmage. We've got a quality defense at that point. You know, it's a Super Bowl caliber team, so let's try to do the Tom Brady thing if we can.
So what's
you
the
don't
way,
mess it up.
So what's the way that the Bears, like, what are the lessons here in your mind that they need to do for – because I would argue they've surrounded him with more than enough talent. The roster talent is good.
To me, I mean, especially based off, you know, the Andy Reid example is one thing because Patrick Mahomes as a prospect, a big concern that so many people had, myself included, was not only the air raid offense, but the play style, the being so dependent on just going beyond the X's and O's, playing beyond outside the structure of the design play, not just being on time and in rhythm on a consistent basis. We haven't seen that work consistently in the National Football League. He still, as of today, is the outlier in that regard, having as much success as consistently as he does, not operating on time and in rhythm. He has, every season, gotten more consistent with that, better at that. This past season was the best version of that. Just the Patrick Mahomes who's not searching for the highlight, who's just staying on time and in rhythm. Andy Reid has demanded that of him, and he himself, Patrick Mahomes, has continued to put that work in to get better and better at that every single year, where he can still win a Super Bowl playing that style of quarterback versus being the highlight machine he was early in his career. That's where my gaze will be trained on Shane Waldron, because everything I've heard about Shane Waldron, really nice guy, good, not elite play caller, but good play caller, but not necessarily a guy who is as demanding, as task-oriented, as detail-oriented as, to me, what I understand Caleb will benefit from in the NFL. Caleb had Lincoln Riley as his head coach. They bring in Cliff Kingsbury to help with the offense at USC as well. neither of these guys is so like all the talk about Cliff Kingsbury coming up and joining with the Chicago Bears, that would not have served Caleb Williams well. Cliff Kingsbury is not demanding of his quarterback. They have an offensive system they've run. It's a very QB-friendly offensive system with their version of the air raid that's there. But these are not guys who task their quarterback with being on top of the details on a consistent basis, day in and day out. That's where not the maturity of Caleb the person, the maturity of Caleb the quarterback. His game needs to mature in that regard. So that, to me, just thinking of his development in the professional realm, that's where Shane Waldron, I believe, will need to be the best version of Shane Waldron to be that detailed, that consistently with Caleb the quarterback.
All right, I think there's a lot more here. Is that Thomas Brown? If it's not Shane Waldron, how long does it take? You know, and the guy's saying he's going to be the outlier. He's comping himself to Rodgers and Mahomes. He wants to win like Brady and play like Rodgers and Mahomes. And so do you risk coaching that out of him by trying to make him the other thing when he needs to be good at that thing, but the other thing is what makes him special? I think it's fascinating, that balancing act of trying to rein him in a little bit, if that is what you're saying. So we'll pick up the conversation with Anthony Herron, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
This is Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants, and I am here at the request of MOB. Keep up the good work. Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12. I want a place that loves ball. You know, that's all I've heard about Chicago so far. They love ball, which is really exciting for me and something that I'm looking forward to and embracing. You know, that's a city to light up and bring back and revive and make game days and everything really, really fun and enjoyable.
That's Caleb Williams on The Pivot with Ryan Clark. It was a fun listen. If Bears fans want to get to know them a little bit more, you should check it out for sure. We will be in the heart of it all Thursday night. We can honestly be your main screen because Connor O'Donnell and Kevin Lapka have put together such incredible, like, the scroll and the graphics and the access to stuff we have to. It's going to look incredible on X or Twitch or YouTube or whatever the case may be. But also, of course, the Score, the Odyssey app. We could be your second screen, whatever you want. But we'll be in Detroit. Wani and Manoli will be here as our analysts. Tanny doing all the sound. Shane in the belly of the beast. Grody at Halas Hall. It's going to be wall-to-wall coverage.
The belly of the beast.
Like in Detroit. Like we're going to be at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
I'm going to be in Flint. Just hanging out. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Passing out water bottles. Very nice of you.
But he is going to be, he's going to be at the draft. He's going to be where Caleb is. He's going to be where Rome Odunze is. He's going to be where Carl Williams is and Lincoln Riley. He's going to be He's going to be a credentialed member of the media amidst the chaos.
So is he going to be on red carpet?
I don't think so. I think they're reserving that for like ESPN, for NFL Network,
Network
TNT.
Yeah, it's very packed.
For network partners. But we're working on.
You should dress up just in case, though.
Okay.
You might be able to kind of wiggle your way out.
I could do that. Fake it till you make it.
It gets very chaotic.
Maybe just put on a hard hat, carry on a clipboard.
Well.
Or a ladder or something.
A press pass? I would say
you're definitely not getting on the red carpet wearing that. But I would say, wear a nice, bring a blazer just in case.
It's not a terrible idea. And draft coverage on the Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I think until folks put you guys on the screen, they should put me on the screen on Fox 32. I'll be out at Soldier Field with Lou Kanellis, from 5:30 to 7. So you guys won't be on until like 7 o'clock anyway, right?
No, we'll be on at about 5. About 4. Yeah.
All right. They'll be missing out. But if they want to come hang out at Soldier Field, they should do
there
that
you go.
Then.
It's a shorter drive. Caleb says he can play from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
There's tape of him playing from the pocket.
Right.
You were talking about this developmental thing, and they got to be detail-oriented, and obviously he has to get better at it because every rookie has to get better at
it.
But part of what makes him brilliant is the ability for the off-schedule stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays like Rodgers and Mahomes. So I don't want to rein him in. I'm okay. I've kept using Andrew Luck's rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck's rookie year, 23 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. He took over 40 sacks, but he threw for 4,300 yards and they won 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was a playmaker.
Yeah.
But he but he made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm okay with that. Yeah. Like, I want Caleb to be Caleb because that is the highest ceiling. That is best player in the NFL, MVP of the league. I don't want to, like, neuter him into being Kirk Cousins or Dak Prescott.
But there's space in between the two, though. Like, I like the Andrew Luck example, but even Andrew Luck, as a playmaker, as a guy who's capable of off-script throws, just like Justin Herbert is, but also both guys within their game, they have the deferential point guard thing in them. And that's where Caleb has access to them.
Get the ball out, hit the layups.
Get the ball to the playmaker.
Yes.
Keenan Allen is exceptional. You know, not just on third down. He's exceptional on first and second down as well. Use that matchup to know that you have an advantage there. Caleb has been in a space where for, you know, his entire college career, the advantage has been being Caleb and setting up playmakers by his ability to improvise, by his sense for playmaking ability. He doesn't need to be that in the NFL, and especially not with the roster they're beginning to assemble with the Bears. He can trust DJ Moore to be that. He can trust Keenan Allen to be that. He can get DeAndre Swift in space. He will have matchups with multiple tight ends that they can try to exploit as well. And so to just be in rhythm and on time on a consistent basis is something he hasn't had to have as a part of his DNA before that he will benefit from having, especially as a young quarterback in the NFL, for a team that will be looking to win in 2024.
So what he is year one, he won't be year three or year five.
Right.
And you think that because of the team that is trying to win this year, a Dak Prescott-like rookie season, 23 touchdowns, 6 picks, not as much of a playmaker, but super limited on the mistakes, is more what you'd like to see from Caleb than an Andrew Luck rookie season.
Exactly. I mean, this is a team that's been working towards, and even the Jalen Johnson comments about, like, don't bring the Hollywood in here. I didn't even take that in the context of him specifically saying that Caleb is Hollywood. But there are so many guys in this locker room, and Jalen Johnson has been one of the chief faces and voices of this team in recent seasons.
You can't bring Hollywood stuff into the building.
Yes, and he was on with Kay Adams. Up in Adams was the show, right?
Yep.
I mean, I don't think he was specifically saying Caleb is Hollywood. But the guys in this locker room, the core of this team, have been doing a lot of losing, taking a lot of lumps, building towards this year. And so for Caleb, this 2024 season in the end-all, be-all, because he's a rookie. But for a lot of guys, they've been working towards this being a year where they win. And so just having it be developmental year where it's okay for the quarterback to make a bunch of mistakes, there's got to be a balance.
I agree with that. And again, Andrew Luck, they won 11 games.
Yeah.
They won 11 games.
Yeah, but Andrew Luck, yes, there was some freelance in Andrew Luck, and he was a very mobile and athletic quarterback.
Yeah.
But Andrew Luck was very rhythmic and on time as well in the way he operated. He could operate at a high level from within the pocket.
But don't get it twisted. I think we're actually pretty much in agreement here because, like, they should win double-digit games next year.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean? And so if his playmaking, improvisational, off-schedule throwing, whatever we want to characterize it as, is more of a detriment than an asset to winning games, then, yeah, he should rein it in until he's, like, mastered the NFL or figured it out or whatever. But I'm not convinced that it will be. But you know what I mean? Like I'm not convinced that like he's not. I'm not saying he'll be Aaron Rodgers as a rookie, but I do think that it's the toughest thing to guard in the NFL, man. Like guys can't cover for 4.5 seconds. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
It's real. Now I know the DNs can chase you down and strip fumble you. I understand.
Who is it that wins consistently passing in that way, though? That's the
Rodgers and Mahomes.
Maybe Caleb is another outlier, but also with that example of both Rodgers and Mahomes, both guys can also carve you up surgeon style between the tackles, standing still with their eyes and their brain. Caleb's got to get there as well. So, yes, the improvisational stuff, being a wizard outside the pocket, that's never going to leave him. But that's in him. That's a part of his DNA. he's a playmaker. He's more of a playmaker naturally than Justin Fields has ever been because it's intrinsic in what Caleb Williams is. Justin prefers to operate with the scripted portion of the play. He just happens to be a world-class athlete, so he can do the other stuff too. Caleb, it's just a part of who he is. That part comes naturally to him just with that point guard mentality. So that's not going anywhere.
I just don't – I hear you. I swear – I just don't want to rule out that the Bears are about to draft another outlier until I see it. I know he sat for a year, and Caleb won't. And I know that the Chiefs situation was perfect, mm-hmm. and the Bears is merely good to very good. And historic, by the way, historically good for a number mm-hmm. one pick prospect. But Mahomes' first year as a starter
mm-hmm.
was 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, and he won the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't think Caleb's going to do that as a rookie.
Right.
But
Mahomes entered the NFL older and, like you just said, sat for a year. Caleb, like Lincoln Riley just told me like a month or a month and a half ago or something like that, Caleb's basically played 2 years of football. Like he's got a lot of football to play to really become anywhere near a finished product as a quarterback.
Did he enter the NFL older? Caleb's 22. Mahomes.
I'm sorry, maybe older. I don't know how accurate older is. More experienced at quarterback.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Like Mahomes didn't go to the NFL 3 years out of high school.
Correct. No. That's right. That is true. But Mahomes won that MVP at 23 years old.
Mm.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying he's thrown for 5,000. Mm. Only three guys ever have done it. 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Clear this up with the Mahomes thing.
Yeah, so the time is a little off because I graduated. I actually left sixth grade early.
Oh, wow.
I left sixth grade a little bit early, and I left preschool a little bit earlier. I was really, really good in the sandbox. I used the bathroom quicker than anyone.
That's why I knew we got along. Me and Patrick are very kindred spirits in that regard.
Wow.
Yeah. So, okay.
You've been advanced your whole life.
That's why it's off a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm excited for Caleb. You guys haven't talked about Caleb with me in a long time and or ever, and I'm his comp.
Yeah, you've been sitting right here.
Yeah, I'm just back there. I'm staring at Ray. Slamming on his keyboard all the time.
So are you offended by the comps of Caleb?
I wouldn't say I'm offended, but I'd like to see the kid prove it. I'd like to have dinner with him, see what he likes on his steak.
Right. Yeah,
I like to go to that birds and guys.
Yeah.
In LA.
I'm sure you could get in.
Yeah, no problem. Taylor, Travis.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you think of Tortured Poets Department of the Poetry?
I hear it's very good.
Yeah, I thought so. A lot of those songs about Britney, I'll tell you that.
Hey, Patrick, are you going to come to Detroit with us?
Yeah, I'm going to be out there.
Wow. So five guys in one bathroom.
Yeah, I'm making the pick for my team, the Kansas City Football,
the
Chiefs.
You play for the Chiefs.
Yep, I'm making the pick for us.
Wow, okay. Well, then
it'll be fun.
Good to see you. All right, well.
Good to see Shane and Tanny back here digging in on the draft. We've been talking about it.
Digging in.
That's great. I keep forgetting that we have this invaluable resource.
Yeah, right. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, see you, Patrick. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's quite a source.
I'm rooting hard for it to be – I mean, obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. falling would be crazy. Malik Nabers mm-hmm. falling would be crazy. But Rome Odunze, I'm 100% in, sprint to the podium, draft him. It would be incredible.
If Odunze's gone, what are you hoping for?
Nabers.
If the receivers are gone, what are you hoping for?
Alt.
Okay.
Alt.
All right.
And if
– I thought you were going to come up with another receiver.
No. Alt, I would say, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Joe Alt, Brock Bowers. Just take the best offensive player on your board. Hmm. Take the best offensive player on your board.
Rush be damned.
I get the Byron Murphy thing. I get it because of who your head coach is. How much does the guy need?
And how important defense is in general. Okay. Regardless of the head coach, you're going to have somebody who's got to rush a quarterback.
Okay.
Andy Reid has a pass rusher.
A pass rusher.
Yeah.
Second round pick for Montez Sweat. Contract for Montez Sweat.
You keep naming Montez Sweat because he's the only pass rusher.
Well, they used two. Going to be four defensive linemen on the field. Two good draft picks on Pickens and Dexter.
Yeah. None of them is a shot breaking three technique.
No, I know. But okay. How many more assets does the defense need?
How many more assets does the offense need?
You got to support your number one quarterback. You got your number two receivers 32 years old.
As of today, you're already saying it is the best spot that a number one overall pick quarterback has gone into, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Think if he actually, if the defense was going to consistently stop folks from scoring points, that would help him too.
It's going to.
Okay. I
mean, hold on a second. How good do you think the defense is right now if the ninth overall pick is an offensive player?
It's a top 10 defense.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
I think both sides of the ball are markedly better than they were for most of last season.
If he
another
had,
pass rusher will help this defense.
Of course it would help the defense. Yes. Of course it would help the defense. And by the way, maybe they see it as the finishing piece to make the defense a top three defense in
that
the
NFL. That, to me, is the bigger hole. Like, if Adunze is there.
I agree.
Yes. If Adunze is there, I'm with that. But then you got to drop off at receiver from an evaluation perspective. The bigger hole is pass rusher.
You have invested more on defense than offense. You have more blue players on defense than offense. And you're about to draft Caleb freaking Williams. I would like to pair him up with another blue player that's going to be here a while, because Keenan Allen won't be. Mm-hmm. DJ Moore is in his prime. Darnell Wright is very, you know what I mean? You've got two blue, Darnell Wright and DJ Moore are your blue players that will play with Caleb Williams for more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to give him another one, because I don't think they're going to be picking in the single digits for years to come. But we got to play something on Rome Odunze that's going to ingratiate himself to this show's audience before we're out of here. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.